Hello everyone, welcome back to the channel. It's George from Ireland, and this is celebrating the 200th anniversary of the very first railway journey in the world. So happy birthday, Choo Choo, because it was on the 27th of September, 1825, when George Stephenson's train, locomotion number one, made the short journey from Stockton-on-Tees to Darlington. So started in the United Kingdom, more precisely England. You might have assumed it was in the London area, the wealthiest area with the most advanced science and engineering, but no, it's northeastern England. So Stockton-on-Tees is in County Durham, if memory serves. Darlington, we think, is North Yorkshire. Stockton-on-Tees, as in the River Tees flow through it, which no, it doesn't flow on through Durham. That's the Weir, the River Weir. So yeah, George Stephenson was there. Now the French do dispute this, and maybe they're right. I'm not such a blinkered nationalist. I have to pretend that the United Kingdom was right or beat others. That's just not true. Anyway, obviously Ireland, we got railways soon after this. So George Stephenson was an engineer, largely self-taught. So there have been steam engines since the late 18th century. I can't remember who invented them. They were very powerful beasts on the road and could pull very, very heavy loads, like 100 horsepower or more. But they were slower than walking pace. So they were strong but not fast. They had horse-drawn wagons, or pony-drawn wagons, wagons of coal, sometimes up and down coal mines, because the on rails, the wheels were on rails to minimize the friction, so they speed up. And the draft animal running between the sleepers, if you see what I mean, those wooden slats which connect the two parallel rails, so they don't go too far apart, or one angling this way, that coming loose. Anyhow, so the is in the danger of the animal tripping over the wooden slats. I know not. Anyhow, so George Stephenson had the idea: let's put the steam engine on rails and emphasize speed over strength. And that's the idea. So that was the first journey. I'm not sure when he had the first experimental journey. I mean, I think this is the first public one. So it really took off. But like any new technology, there's some Luddism, some resistance, there's some technophobes. And I'm a bit like that with new technology. Or there's like, this will never catch on. It was a noisy beast. So remember, it's the age of steam from the late 18th century. So that's why there's the driver and the fireman or whatever. He's not actually, as in putting out fire. So shoveling coal into the engine, burning the coal, which boils the water, and then the steam rises, turns the turbines, pump the pistons, makes the wheels go. Now, I heard people saying they burn the steam. That's not quite how it works. And obviously, steam engines also operated factories, steamships, and so forth, phased out in the late 20th century, the 1950s in Republic of Ireland and the United Kingdom, transitioning over to diesel and electric trains. Well, the tube in London about 1903 going all electric. Wow. So, and that was transformative. What was the transport revolution from then on? It's the age of steam, and that's when British navvies and railway engineers gird the world in iron. So the United Kingdom invented the trains. How is it the UK's got some of the most overpriced trains in the world, so often delays and cancellations and so forth? So a world beater to think that in the 18th century and the early 19th century, the United Kingdom was the leading science and technology country in the world. And you see it's kind of fallen. And OK, there's a big science park near Cambridge and stuff like that. But I mean, I can't think of a recent British invention or scientific breakthrough. By the late 19th century, obviously, it's the United States. And so on the 20th century, maybe the United States or Japan or something, the United Kingdom is somewhat behindhand on this. I mean, I'm no technologist. So, wow, how it really changed things. Some people say, oh, they're noisy, they're dirty, they're dangerous, we don't want them, they're the vehicle of the Antichrist or whatever. And they spread across the British Isles and Western European countries like France, the Netherlands, Spain, Sweden, all of the United States. And one of the determinative factors in the American Civil War was the way the North had more railways than the South, because they were able to move troops and munitions much faster. I mean, Napoleon had envisioned this kind of thing, but obviously died in 1822, never saw it realized. And the thing about trains is you can often tell to the minute how long from this town to that town. Horse-drawn wagons, carriages, how strong are the horses? Are we talking about Clydesdales? Are we talking about things which are mere like Shetland ponies? And how heavy is the load? And the weather affects it a lot. Is it windy? Is it rainy? Is it hot? Is it cold? How muddy is the surface? And so forth. And they get tired after a while. So that's why horsepower is very vague. I mean, there is a way to actually calculate horsepower, but that doesn't relate to the power of every horse. Horses have different levels of power. Now, although trains don't get tired, they had to stop for water and coal. So in some railway stations, you'll still see a huge water tank. Most they're removed these days because they had to refill the water because it turned into steam and, had gone out the vapor after a while, and they needed to replenish the coal every so often. So yeah, that's the way it works. And old style railway stations, you have a very, very high roof. So the steam, as well as the smoke, there's a fire involved, was rising high and not at head level. You get grit in your eye. It happened anyway, but would have been even worse. So the old Termini, London Waterloo or whatever, or St Pancras, very, very high ceilings. Now in Ireland, well, I mean, Cork railway station, you have that quite high a bit. I was going to say maybe they replaced the roofs, but like it, Dublin, Houston, Dublin, Connolly, Dublin, Pier Street, they're not that tall. And there's that Belfast Grand Central station. I can't remember the old one, was near Donegal Street. Okay, so how times have changed and spread all over the world, but then obviously in the 20th century began closing down railway lines. From the First World War, the United Kingdom began closing down a few railway lines, a little bit the 20s, a little bit the 30s. The real difference was the Beeching report, Dr. Beeching's Reshaping Britain's Railways about 1962. And he said something like 80% of the traffic and 20% of the lines, and had to close down more lines and stations. And so closed down like two-thirds of the stations. And much of that was sensible, the stations which were virtually unused and was losing so much money. Because by the 1950s, motor cars become affordable for the middle class. By the 1960s, became affordable for the working class. Car ownership quadrupled in the 60s. And so many motorways had opened. So there was no point subsidizing loss-making railways. But the idea is that consolidation would mean more money could be invested in certain vital lines and make them faster, more efficient, all the rest of it. Or people would drive to a station, park, and use the train for the rest of the journey. But largely, that didn't transpire. Having got into their cars, they never got out of them till they reached the end of the journey, and so forth. But as it got to the stage where a country gets so developed, began reopening railway lines, certainly in the United Kingdom, where it's the population's gone up, is it 40% the last 35 years? But in southern England or southeast England, it's even more, maybe 60%. There are areas of the UK the population has actually gone down since Beeching report, down in Scotland a little bit, down in northeast England. But Republic of Ireland, reopened some railway lines. We're talking about opening way more. Well, the Lewis in Dublin, no, it's a tram, it's in Speed and Irish. That reopened in 2004, some of it on the former track way of some Dublin railways, some minor light railways closed in the 1950s. So I'm big into choo-choos. I remember visiting Turkey first time 2003. Because nobody takes a train because they're not spent on those in decades. They're terrible. I went back 10 years later and the trains were getting good because so many people got cars to take traffic off the roads. They had to be reopening railway lines. The very first journey was only 25 miles. That's the birth of the railway age. So George Stephenson used to be on British banknotes, the father of railways, and his son was also a distinguished railway engineer, crucial in Russia and so many other countries. The rail gauge is different. The United Kingdom is different from the continental one. I'm not sure what they do with the Eurostar going from France to the United Kingdom and so forth. So there's some private railways, like in Ireland, we had one, a minor one in Clare, didn't have the same rail gauge as everywhere else because they're all private companies. They weren't standardized at the 20th century. And apparently, there was talk of the Channel Tunnel in the late 19th century, about 1880. And some privately owned railway in the United Kingdom, if from southern England to northern England, had the same rail gauge as the continent on the basis that the trains would come over, but that never came to pass. So there we go. Yeah, choo-choos are the way forward because that's quite good to reduce our carbon footprint. So come on, railways. The United States having the lowest rate of rail usage in the world. Amtrak Joe was one of the only people who did take it, as in former President Joe Biden, who's now losing his marbles, used to take the train in from, where was he representing, Delaware, the United States Congress. The guy from, was it Scranton, Pennsylvania, but he sat for Delaware. Anyway, thank you for watching my runaway train of a video, and that's it. So I like to ride the iron horse. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, PayPal, George 79 at gmail.com. Goodbye.